You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into The Real Short Box. My name is Donald.
And my name is Kevin. And today we are at a special place. We are recording at We Can Be Heroes. And we have three special guests. We have the Duke of Newhall, the righteous co-owner of the shop, known as Julio Galvez.
Yes, I am present.
We also have a first-time attendee to our broadcast. He is a loyal customer, a wonderful man, a wonderful family man. He is simply known as the Righteous One, Raphael.
Yep, here, ready to go, showtime.
And there is a secret fifth person sitting at the table. I'll just call him the Sensational One.
Really? That's what we're calling him? Okay.
He's a shy guy.
All right, shy guy. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And thanks for tuning in to The Real Short Box, everybody that's listening. We are here, of course, at We Can Be Heroes. We just got done with a stellar Star Wars kind of sale type thing where we were selling some books. A lot of fun things. What time is it exactly?
11 p.m.
11 p.m. Yeah, so this is definitely the short box, the real short box after hours.
Pretty much.
Or after dark. So we can be a little naughty.
Anything goes, guys. Anything goes.
I personally am only wearing half my pants. I've pulled them down.
What is with you and only wearing no pants or wearing shorts?
I'm wearing half.
Or you're just hanging loose down there. What is your problem?
There's always a lot of hanging when it's commando. Concerning
He's,
down
he,
there.
It's like G.I. Joe. He gone commando.
It's
I
true.
Guess so. You're so
more like Arnold Schwarzenegger man. Going commando.
Going commando?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'll
too.
Be back.
I'll be back.
Man, put your kilt on.
If I had one right now, I would wear it, certainly. But I don't, so I digress. Anyway, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We wanted to mention, I think Raphael and I were talking earlier, and we were talking about some of the books that you get in here at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, I feel like comic book collectors want to open a shop just so they can have people bring them stuff instead of them having to go out and hunt for things. Now that I've seen the hustle that you put into this trade, to this business, I know that's not necessarily true.
Right.
We all saw the comic book men, so we just assumed that that's the way it worked. The antique Pawn Stars and things like that, just, oh, everybody brings stuff in. That shit's all made up. Like, they pay people ahead of time. Right, it's scripted
right.
Nonsense. That's not the way it works technically. Sometimes you get some cherry things that come into the shop.
Right, right.
But sometimes you just get a raw deal. You get a bunch of nonsense.
A
bunch
lot
of crap.
Pyrite comes into your store.
Well, I mean, everyone walks in the store thinking they got gold. They walk in and they put their books down and they're expecting to walk out of here with a brand new Cadillac. And then yet you give them not the bad news, but the real news, right? The
right.
real What it's really about, right?
I drove 50 miles away. You're telling
right.
me this, sir?
Have you had somebody do that? Have you had somebody be like, oh, I can't believe
oh, yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. This is a couple of years ago in the Sensational one. It might have been there. Where this a couple came in and they had a couple bags of comics. And they thought they had $1 million. And I went through the whole entire two bags of books and said, to tell you the truth, I can't use any of these things. And they're like, what? What do you mean? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'll give you $20 for it. I mean, just to be nice. And she goes, no, I'd rather throw it in the garbage. Where's your garbage? Where's your garbage? And she wanted to tear up the comics. And I'm like, well, you can go around the back. There's a dumpster. But I was just, you know, for your time.
We'll take them out later.
Money for your time for coming out
what
here.
What kind of books were these?
I don't even remember what they were. Do you remember? But it was just really odd. I'm like, I'm not lying to you. Like, one of the things I really pride myself on is trying to be really truthful with people. And I know it's kind of rare in this business, but I really do try. And some people do have nice stuff, and you pay them. And we pride ourselves here at We Can Be Heroes that we pay more than most people do, especially in this area. You know, I mean, I've always had this thing where, like, if you bring in books, I'll pay you more than everybody else because I don't need to make 10,000% profit. I'm okay with making 7%. or 8,000% profit because it's totally that much profit really. And when it comes to books, you know,
especially on resale.
Yeah,
and I don't think everyone understands is that a book's worth $50, right? Mm-hmm. A book comes in here, there's 20 books, they're all worth $50 a piece. Yeah, they're worth the $50, but people don't understand what goes into after having to clean the books, rebag and board, put them for sale. You have to pay your employees. There's
advertising,
just their day-to-day operation. So if you're going to pay them what the book is worth and you're going to sell it for what you paid them, you're not in the business to break even. You have to make money so that you can keep your employees.
So you survive.
You know,
right.
Yeah. I think that's what people don't understand when they walk in the doors. Well, my books are worth $1,000. And they are. They're for sure worth $1,000. But I have to be able to get a little something for myself because that's how I pay my store employees. Yeah. And that's how I keep the lights on.
There is a caveat to that, though. Mm-hmm. So my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, if a book is on consignment, you can get a little bit more, you know, juice out of that. It's just that it has to be set up differently.
Right. We usually charge like 10% profit. I mean, a consignment fee for the book. For whatever we sell it, we set a price and then we go from there. But it could take a while to sell that book.
Especially if it's a big book, that's true. You have a book that's worth 5,000 or so, 10,000. You know it's just not less than
I have a book. It's an Action Comics number one. Do you think you can sell it by tomorrow?
Yeah, I can take care of that.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great.
You just tell me
where it is and I'll drive you home right now. And we'll go get it.
We'll have to check Key Collector to find out what's important about it.
Did you hear about that guy in Alaska that bought a dresser? And he took out all the drawers because he was going to refurnish it, you know, sand it down and everything. And when he took out one of the drawers, there was a copy of Action Comics number one in the back.
Mm-hmm. I pray for that.
Kind of bent and pushed back in. Yeah. But it was in there, and it was a real one.
Yeah.
And it went for like $750,000 or something, or $800,000 he ended up selling it for.
Right.
Like an insane amount of money.
Well,
and the fact that still happens these days, you have some old piece of furniture and something like that's in there.
Well, people were hiding them because they were using the paper for some were lost because they were using them from the war.
Yeah,
paper
war too, for exactly. War,
paper rationing. And then when that whole Sodi thing happened, which was the Seduction of the Innocents,
Dr. Wortham, yes.
Yeah, they people started destroying comics. Yep. So some people were you know how you hear stories about them finding him in walls or in basements somewhere behind a brick or in like furniture or something. It's because people were hiding them.
Yeah, little Billy didn't want to get all his collection.
Little kids hiding them, but also because there was such a shortage of supplies and things, they were using comic books for insulation too.
That's right.
Yeah. On the inside. Light a fire.
Right. Yeah. Well, so our house back home in Ohio is over about 125 years old, our family home.
Hey, get the axe out, brother.
Exactly what I was thinking, Kevin. I was thinking you and I can fly over there. We'll just take some ball peen hammers and we'll just start busting some holes in the walls. We won't tell my parents that we're doing it. We'll just walk in and start busting holes in the walls.
You're lucky if you find a Blue Beetle number one and it won't be worth anything.
That's an inside joke.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know, but I created a web series called The Blue Beetle Ted Kord Returns. It's on Rumble Spoon Productions page on YouTube. You should check it out. It's amazing.
But I think with comics, you know, I have two sons who are both collectors now, and they collect for different reasons or whatnot. And it's kind of during COVID, we've gotten together more often. Me and my sons and gone and buy books because now it's more it's a hobby, and it's a cool way to interact with my sons and read more often. But at the same time, it's like an investment now, right? It's more than just a book, right? It's it's something that's carrying more weight in terms of money for the future. And I think a lot of people don't value their books as well. And sometimes you get books that come in that should be worth a lot more money, but they're not treated the way they should be. So they come in and they're really damaged. Yeah.
The number one thing that I find when people bring me books is they don't consider grades. You know, or condition. They just automatically, they'll hand me a book and they go, it's in mint condition, it's still in the bag and board. And I'm like, no, it's just because it's in a bag and board doesn't mean it's...
Presents well.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Right. Since there are three types of comic book people. There are the readers who just read everything. Mm-hmm. They don't care about, you know, they roll it up when they're done. There's the collector who just collects everything. And then there's the investor who's pretty much in just for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, investor / speculator. Yeah.
The last two can, the first two can kind of be readers. They can kind of intermingle with each other. But you're not going to get a lot of you get a lot of readers who will sell you all their collection for cheap because they are done with it.
Yeah.
They got their money's worth.
They read and they want to move on. I mean, one of my first comics I ever got was my mom had put me one of those, you know, orders. You can, you know, you order in the mail. Mm-hmm. You know, so you send a card in with the books you want, and it came in. The envelope had my name on it. It was the first piece of mail that I ever got directly to me. Mm-hmm. It was a comic book inside. It was an amazing.
You sure it wasn't a summons?
It might have been. It was a, you know, it was a comic book inside, and that thing was folded in half in my back pocket everywhere I went.
Right.
Because it's the first book I got sent. Not the first one I bought.
Submission Grace.
Right. It was the first book I ever got sent to me. It was like mail. It was a big thing.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just I folded it, and I've been, you know, taking books to my nephews to get them interested in comic books. Mm. And not too long ago, I took a book to my nephew. It wasn't worth it. It was worth a $5 book. It was Strange Academy, like number 7 or something like that. Mm. And sure enough, it folded and went right in his back pocket. And I brought it back, mm-hmm. I should do that. But at the same time, I was like, oh, no, you shouldn't do that. What are you doing? And my brother-in-law was like, what do you mean? I go, that could be worth money later. And he's like, it's just a comic.
Yeah.
It's a book with paper. And I was like,
did you take him out behind the shed and, you know?
No, I told him, you're not a collector. You don't understand the market. Then I took him we went to Frankenstein's once, and he saw these books that were $10,000, $5,000. He's like, I can't believe these books. And he really thought about it.
He went home and beat his kid.
He went home and all of a sudden,
bastard.
He pulled the iron out of the. Honey, get the iron. Get the iron and some steam.
Yeah, yeah.
I know your favorite book.
I don't know, but my first book that I ever got, I believe, it was probably some Silver Age book. There was a bookstore at Burbank. I told you guys this story. There was a bookstore back in the day in the Golden Mall, which is San Fernando Road, where the AMC is in Burbank.
Is that still there?
No. They it's now San Fernando Road. But before, it used to be like, you know, big fountains of water and rocks and stuff, and you can play there and stuff. And there was no side. It was a big giant sidewalk. It was huge.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it was very nice. And you should look up pictures of it. It's pretty crazy. And one of these places was Book World, where a movie world used to be. Mm-hmm. But it was like a city block. It was full of books, magazines, posters, Reader Digest by the millions. And there was a tabletop that they had added like these wood edges around it. And it was just full of comics. And it had a sign on there that said 10 comics for $1. And then they had the 10 crossed out and it said 12. And you could just pick up books. And by what I was reading was Silver Age comics. I mean, they were worth probably a fortune. Mm-hmm. Now they would be worth a fortune.
But where are they now?
I don't. Dude, I drew in those. I traced out of them. You know, I
learned how to draw Spider-Man by tracing over.
Right? Yeah, that's how you do
it.
Learned
how to draw dicks by tracing over their crotches.
Exactly.
I get it.
Exactly.
So the funny part is I ran into this guy at Continental. He comes in. And he comes in with his kid to buy comic books. And
you're talking about Continental Comics?
Continental Comics. Yeah. So I walked in and he was buying books for his son. And I was talking to him about if he's a collector. He's like, yo, I'm a collector. I collect all the time. And he pulls out a TV guide from his back pocket. And he's like, I've got every TV guide that ever came out.
And he had it in his pocket? Yeah. It's like this Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah, right.
But it's like Archie Bunker TV guide.
I remember a TV guide. I didn't know there was ever a collector market for
there's
TV guide.
There's a market. There's a niche.
They still make TV guide.
Really?
Yeah.
You can still get TV guide?
I got articles and stuff. Yeah. That's what keeps them alive.
Oh, you read the TV guide for the articles?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, like Playboy magazine.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing. Yeah.
Which, if anyone wants to come to We Can Be Heroes, you have a great collection of Playboys.
Yes.
Come on by.
Yeah, in the back room, and they can read them with Uncle Raph.
Yeah. They're gently used. Wear gloves.
Gently played with.
Yeah. That's wrong in so many ways.
We Could Be Heroes has pretty much everything, right? They got comic books, Pokemon, magic.
No common sense.
Even
here on the wall here, I'm noticing a bunch of
new board games.
Board games. Look at that.
Well, we're sitting in our new room.
The gaming facility, basically. Yeah. I see a lot of TVs mounted on the wall.
Gaming chairs. Look
at this. Yeah. We have like eight TVs in here, 7 stations, and that is set up for our Smash Brother tournaments and stuff, which is really popular.
Which is really surprising that the first one was like, you know, 25, and last one was like 40 people. I mean, and they were just, you know, 40 people come in, they play this tournament for 3 or 4 hours. They have a great time, and you know, it's surprising how many people. I mean, you may have 60 this Saturday.
Well, are you selling Hot Pockets? That's an important question.
Oh no, that's what happens over at Neil's.
Oh.
Neil Adams' shop.
Right.
Yeah,
he's
a big Hot Pocket guy. We sell donuts, but what
no.
Now, how are your bathrooms? You can't can enjoy the smell of Hot Pockets.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. What do you have for them, like, when they're gaming that they can just eat and stuff?
Oh, there's snacks. There's snacks.
They did a study, and when new games are come out, there's a spike in sales of Hot Pockets. And that's because kids want to sit there and play their games, and then they want just something they can grab and eat.
I'm going to tell you one thing, though. It isn't Mexican kids. Because if we're playing video games, whatever mom or grandma made is what we're eating.
Yeah.
It isn't, I mean, I don't want to be stereotypical, but it ain't Hot Pockets.
No.
Or it's our version of a Hot Pocket.
The burrito.
Right? It's a gordita. Right?
Okay. Fair enough.
No, we have snacks. I mean, it's a little weird. It's a little weird right now because I don't know what to offer people. I mean, we have the microwaves. We could offer Hot Pockets and stuff, but again, we're still getting over the whole COVID thing, even though LA is doing amazing, which is hard for me to believe.
Right?
I mean, yeah, no, suppressing no one, stuff. Not many people are dying right now. You know.
No, not that many.
Vaccinations are in effect.
Yeah. So I don't know, but
I think people have been able to get away with murder much more easier. They could choke somebody out and blame it on COVID.
Yes.
My wife died of COVID.
That's true.
What are these rings around her neck? Mm-hmm. I don't know. COVID rings.
Hey, this has got to be after hours.
It's totally.
No, we got to be careful. We don't be giving certain people ideas out there.
Why not?
COVID rings.
Look,
you know?
If you take the idea and you use it, you don't need to give us credit. We don't need credit.
No. We definitely need credit.
Yeah, we don't want any FBI investigations coming our way.
And just so you know, if in fact you want to give credit, the guy's name is Kevin.
He's whoa.
That's good. That's good.
Brother Kevin.
You know what? I know what you can't sell.
Just find
here.
Just follow the fedora. You'll know where to go.
You can't sell Denny's chicken tenders or chicken sandwiches.
No, because they never have them.
I mean, come on. Okay, so we do our claim sale every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We end at 11, 10:30, and then Julio talks for hours. Mm-hmm. So the only place we can go eat is Denny's. So we get to Denny's, and it's the same waiter every time. Really nice guy. Real responsive.
Beautiful eyes.
Yeah. The problem is every time we go, whatever Donald wants to order, they don't have. So you ask Donald, what are you going to eat today? I'm going to have a chicken sandwich. Perfect. I'm going to get a club sandwich because they ain't going to have no chicken.
Right.
If he says, I'm going to get pancakes, I'm going to take a chicken sandwich because they're going to have a chicken sandwich. It's, for some reason, whatever Donald orders, they don't got.
Sean fell victim to it the last time.
Really? They gave him five hamburger patties.
Our buddy Sean, because he wanted to share, nachos, I think it was, with us. And with
no
me.
Cheese.
And I asked, I was like, oh, so how big is the small plate of nachos? And the guy's like, oh, we don't have any of those. I was like, really?
Yeah, they had chips. They had no cheese.
No cheese, no marinara sauce, no spaghetti, no chicken.
Yeah, they had no spaghetti.
You know,
they had spaghetti. They had no spaghetti sauce.
Right. It got to a point where at some point Donald says, well, how about we start with what you have? Let's go let's go to that nature, right?
It's very true.
It comes to a fact that, yes, it's really our fault because – take it. We go to Denny's at the last minute, right?
So they're 24 hours.
Right,
yeah.
But I'm certain at some point they're like, look, these fucking guys come in the last fucking minute, and they want us to do this. We want to hook the minimum. We want to give them eggs and something we can make quick.
Yeah.
We're too dumb to go across the street to IHOP.
We suggested, but Julio's against it.
No, I'm not against anything.
I will not go to IHOP.
I will say IHOP has a great fried chicken sandwich.
I don't mind IHOP.
We'll go to IHOP next time.
What's you and the fried chicken sandwich?
I love fried chicken sandwiches. I don't know what to say.
He's part black. Just so you know.
Yeah.
I don't believe that because he always orders that healthy thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Come on.
The fit meal.
What is it? The fit meal.
Yeah.
He ordered a crepe this time.
Oh, yeah. With the sauce on the side salad.
Yeah. The guy, he ordered to build your own crepe. He ordered to build your own crepe. They brought him a crepe and he had to add everything himself.
Yeah. The strawberry sauce. That strawberry sauce was a joke. It was like they mixed water in with it or something. It was terrible.
It is 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And it is Denny's. It's not like it's pristine or good food. I mean, it's decent.
Right.
Who likes to go there? Well, I mean, it's either that or it's
El Torito.
Oh, I love El Torito.
We had a bad experience this time. The waiter dropped a cup of beans on me. It was
what?
And burned them.
Hot beans?
We went to this. Julio got in contact with this guy who puts on these wrestle matches.
Yeah, I'm gonna go on Friday.
Nice.
And he invited us to go to wrestle matches. After that, we went to go eat.
MPW, by the way.
MPW. It was me, Julio,
Walter and Pedro.
Oh, yeah, I saw Instagram photos.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was just really hot in there. Like,
there was a lot of people in there.
There was a lot of people, but it was hot to begin with.
And it wasn't bad.
Here to Chatsworth. Yeah. About, how far is it?
Oh, from here? 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it was fun. You know, you can tell those guys are, like, still learning because it wasn't perfect choreography.
No, the first couple matches were but like the third, fourth, and fifth, those were decent matches. I got into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into it.
Did you throw your beer?
I wanted to get in the ring, man.
I can tell you one thing, though.
I want to drop some elbows.
We were there, and there were some sketchy folk in that audience. Yes. You know, it was.
You mean people with COVID?
I don't know about COVID. Guys are a little too involved with the wrestling. Like, you know, and I mean, it was.
Let me just explain something to you.
That's my boyfriend.
The guys that you sat there with, mm-hmm. me, Pedro, and Walter, if this had been like one of our old stomping grounds that we watched wrestling at, we would have been those guys.
No, but I'm saying. I've been to a Monday Night Raw. I've been to WrestleMania once with mm-hmm. my nephews. And you get excited because they're big matches, and you can. And at some point, you lose yourself in the match.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, the guy who came out at the beginning and gave his spiel, mm-hmm. you could tell like he didn't have it. So mm-hmm. You weren't as engaged right away because it wasn't 100% his all.
It's not authentic.
Well, no, yeah. I mean,
up and coming, they're learning. They're learning.
Yeah, 400 days without performing. That's how long it was. Was the last time there was a match.
Let me tell you one thing.
I'm just glad that they're still around.
If your wife called you in the room after 400 days, would you be not able to perform?
Off the top rope, maybe not.
It wouldn't be complicated.
Yeah, yeah. Off with the top rope. Full submission here.
No, I love the professional wrestling. And when I go, and if it's like AEW or PWG, the ones that I've gone to, and my group is. Dude, there are times when they were filming the pay-per-views,
mm-hmm.
and they cut us from it
because
they were like, no, because we're just all over everybody. Oh. We destroy everybody.
The thing is that first of all, it was too hot in there. Right? Yeah. They need some better ventilation. And having the mask on the entire time made it a little tough. Right? I think without the mask on.
Well, next time, don't wear wrestling masks. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. And that was my gift mask.
And you're literally shoulder to shoulder with everyone in the room.
Oh, I saw
that.
But it was 90 degrees outside too.
Yeah, but I'm saying if it was better ventilation,
mm-hmm.
you'd have to wear a mask. You probably would enjoy yourself.
If I got a massage.
And we expected it was going to be 7 matches. We only got 5. Right?
It wasn't.
We got to see a title match. We saw a title match. That was kind of.
We saw two title matches.
Yeah. The
tag team and
the tag team was better. I thought the tag team guy, the skinny guy, the tag team was pretty. The one he was pretty.
There was the what were they called? They were called the Millennials.
The Millennials.
There was one guy.
On the phone
the whole entire time. It was fantastic. It was so funny. Introducing him and he's just like holding up his phone and be like,
"That's great."
Yeah, and he was doing that, and then like. When he got in the ring, he still had it, and the guy grabbed him in a hold, and he had to hand his phone off to his partner. So it was really well done.
So somebody in the Orange Cassidy mode.
Yes.
So let me ask you, since we're speaking about millennials, mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people, like, we have old school shop owners, and we've got new shop owners, and then we've been seeing a lot, like a huge influx of Instagram sales.
Right.
And not just like book claims where they'll just post books, but mm-hmm. live claim sales and stuff. Yeah. We see auctions on YouTube and mm-hmm. things like that. So with the onset of all this digital medium here for the industry of comic books and comic book sales, do you see the viability of a shop, or do you think that like some of these you're going to see new shops pop up that's going to be online only, or some of these old shops are going to close and go online
only? There's no reason for a brick and mortar besides loving doing this. This is the only reason. I mean, like, I'm 47 years old. We started this, almost 2 years ago. This is all I ever wanted to do besides write. And so, and wrestling, yeah, exactly. So you have to love this. I mean, because you could do this from home. Like, we've already seen people on Instagram and Twitch doing it from their bedroom, selling books and stuff. And they're probably just doing as good as good as we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta love it. You gotta want to love the interaction with people, and that's one of the best parts is talking about this live with everybody and talking about certain books that you read, what you didn't read, what you recommend, and taking recommendations. I love it all.
Yeah.
So I do think without the brick and mortar, you lose a lot. Because I think you can buy anything you want on eBay, Mercari, an online claim sale, you know, a store that's only online.
Yeah.
And you're basically buying a book that they're listing as what it is, say an 8.0 or whatever it is, uh-huh. and you get it. And you buy it, you get it, and you put it in a box. Coming to a brick-and-mortar shop, like especially like We Could Be Heroes, you come in here and you're going to find collections of books that maybe you didn't anticipate seeing and buy. And then like, it's
right.
like,
right.
it's the whole thing of you found it. Mm-hmm. You found it
right.
in the wild for
also,
per se.
Right. Direction. That's very
right.
important.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, and then you can go and say, look, I found this book. It's in the wild. It, you know, I can say that the experience was I walked into the store. It was like, you know, basically the way I found this shop was I was going somewhere else. And I needed to kill some time, and I saw the shop. I came in, I met Julio, and we started to talk. And I would come here with my kids weekly and pick up books. And then now I'm just in my mind just part of the shop. And I think a lot of people lately have been getting that here. We Could Be Heroes with Smash Brothers, Pokemon tournaments, Magic, and it allows him to have great claim sales because the majority of people that buy are guys who come pick up. And they know, based on Julio, talking to Julio and other stuff they bought in the shop, they can trust what he's selling online or on an Instagram post. So they're not yeah. just buying a book. They're able right. to get – there's something behind it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a sense of trust,
mm-hmm.
and a sense of familiarity.
A sense of
community.
Yeah.
That all comes into play.
One of the things that I noticed from the claim sales, and one of the reasons we are doing so well at ours is because ours is – yeah, it's the formula is the same, but we're doing it completely different. Most of the times you go to a claim sale and you will see the same exact books.
Yeah.
Every sale. It's always those popular keys.
Whatever's hot, right?
Yeah,
then.
And that's it. And we started doing it completely different with the Two Guys, One Box. That's our name of our claim sales show that we do on Wednesdays. We just put books that – of course we have a little bit of that spec stuff and certain keys, but most of it is fun books that we enjoy, you know, looking at that are not the most expensive books. And we just fill up one short box and try to get rid of that as soon as possible. And we have fun and we talk about each book, as, not as just sellers, but as fans of the book.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely have a good understanding of the storyline or the characters, and we inform people. We play music in the background,
right.
which people seem to enjoy. Most of the time you go to a claim sale, it's pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Some guy in his underwear walking around back and forth going, A20. Here, you know, we're joking around. We're having a good time.
It's like Claimcast almost because it's like a podcast and a claim cell kind of built into one.
Right. And I do like that how, like, everything's very visible. You
right.
can see everything that you're selling. Mm-hmm. You can, and they'll show the book up close. You know, look right here. There's a spine tick that we were telling you about. That's why it's not near mint now. You know, this is reason for it.
And it happened today. What happened today, someone was going to pick up a book off that wall.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys took a look at that book and said, no, this book, it's not what was advertised. Now that I notice it better, and we pulled it off the wall. We didn't just sell it to them, even though we pulled it off. I mean, that's some claim sales, you don't get that.
Honesty live on air. That's a beautiful thing.
But I mean,
we try.
What you have here, like this table right now, it's five of us sitting at this table. You know, in a sense, some of you guys have met before that, but I met everyone here based just because of the shop.
Right.
How did you
just showed up one day and you were appearing and stuff.
Yeah, he came in and he started chatting with me, and then like a couple of weeks later, he sold me some pops.
I was like, I was driving by because I was going to meet a friend nearby, and I needed to kill time because he wasn't home, and I Googled comic shop and this one came up, and I came in, and the minute I walked in, the first thing I heard was, hey, bud, is it your first time? And I said, yeah. And then he came, walked me around and showed me what was going on. And then I said, this is super cool. I'm going to bring my boys in. And I brought my boys in the following weekend. And he was really nice to them. And then I did bring him some pops to sell. And I've just been here ever since.
Yeah. And then he brings his kids every week, and I make fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
every
good.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Well, one of the important things that the shop does, and what most really good comic book shops or any brick-and-mortar retail store should be doing, is fostering a community with their customers. You know, the most the app metaphor is it's Cheers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's where everyone knows your name.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, we literally do that here. When somebody walks in, hey, Showtime.
55.
It's
true. It's and it's sometimes it's not even like, you know, the funny part is a lot of times it's not even a real name. I think for a good 4 weeks, everyone just called me Showtime. Like, and then eventually guy like Juice would ask me, "Hey, what is your real name?" And, you know, and it was just something. It's just the way we've always done things, right? It's
We won Ninja Turtles. Matter of fact, we have two Ninja Turtles sitting right here. Donatello and Raphael.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. This is actually going to be the end of part one of our comic shop talks. We're going to be discussing part two the following week here, where we just talk a whole bunch of fun, just silliness, just a lot of good comic shop gossip. So thank you for tuning in and joining us here at the Real Short Box. Maybe sometime soon we will see you
at the sweet, wondrous, lovely, cleanly comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.